Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
thank you.
create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard amid the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. For while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The king's daughter shall be brought unto the king, and the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not like sheep, as others do. Let us not sleep, like others do. But let us awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Adorned for her husband. Amen.
bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him."
mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this last Sunday of the church year, St. Matthew 25, verses 6 and 10. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The midnight cry which is heard in the Gospel for this day, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him," is the theme not only of this last Sunday of the church year, it's also the theme of the Advent season, which begins next Sunday. For the message of Advent is that the Son of God, who once came in lowliness as Mary's child, will at the last day come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. A day of wrath for all who have spurned his love, a day of joy for all who have found refuge in him, their rock and their salvation. The parable Jesus tells in the Gospel for this day is a story of sharpest contrast, both the severity of God's judgment and the greatness of his mercy. On the one hand, there is the expectant joy of the virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come and claim his bride. But on the other hand, there is the fate of the foolish virgins, who, when the coming of the bridegroom is announced, find that they have no oil in their lamps, no light to guide their way to the feast. And when they then return from going to buy some oil for their lamps, they discover that the other virgins have already gone in with the bridegroom to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. "Lord, Lord," they say, "open to us." But from within comes the voice of the bridegroom, "I do not know you." So how then do you and I see ourselves in this parable? Before anything else, this parable is a word of warning to be ready for the coming of the Lord, whether in the hour of our death or in the always nearer day of judgment. Jesus concludes the parable with a word of warning. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Not one of us knows when our death will come, nor does anyone know when that last and great day will come, when the secrets of all hearts shall be revealed. And as for those who so foolishly try to predict the time of our Lord's return again to judgment, well, what about them? These words of Jesus, "Watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming," these words of Jesus unmask them for the crackpots and charlatans they in fact are. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." So how do we see ourselves in this parable? The first thing to notice is that there are 10 virgins, not just one, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. In the same way, you and I wait for the Lord's coming, not as isolated individuals. We wait as members of the waiting and hoping church. Nevertheless, you yourself must be ready. The church can't somehow be ready for you any more than the church can believe for you. To be sure, we believe with the church, but each one of us must be able to say, I believe, just as each one of the virgins had to provide oil for her own lamp. So what is the oil we need? The oil we need for readiness is faith and hope and love, as St. Paul makes plain in the epistle for this day, where he tells the Christians in Thessalonica to prepare for their Lord's coming again in this way, by putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And we find this armor, this oil, not as loners, but in the fellowship of the church, because it is here in the company of our fellow believers that we continually hear that word of God, which unsparingly judges us for our sins, calls us to repentance. And here in the fellowship of the church, we also hear God's word of pardon and mercy put on us with the water of baptism, renewed in absolution, and sealed with the body and blood in which Christ suffered all that we, by our sins, have deserved. That word of mercy and peace, that word which can alone kindle faith in our hearts, and with faith, both hope and love. The 10 virgins didn't wait aimlessly for nothing in particular, and neither do we. Although the coming judgment is a terrifying prospect for all who spurn Christ's love, it's an eagerly awaited day for all those who with penitent hearts seek refuge in his mercy. For as St. Paul also says in today's epistle, God has not appointed us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as penitent believers, as sinners who have repented of their sins, we truly live in an atmosphere of expectant joy, the expectation of that full salvation which God in his wisdom has portrayed in Holy Scripture as the joyful marriage supper of the Lamb, seen by St. John in his vision where he writes, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." And it is that note of joy which is unmistakable in that great hymn we are about to sing, a hymn based on the gospel for this day. Because of the circumstances in which we are now living, this pandemic that continues to plague and frighten the world, it's good for us to know the circumstances in which this wonderful hymn was written. by Pastor Philip Nicolai. In the year 1598, he was pastor in the town of Unna in Westphalia, and the plague had come to devastate the town. One window of Pastor Philip's house overlooked the cemetery, where more than 30 burials took place every day. But in those terrible days, when almost every household in his parish was in mourning, what did Pastor Philip do? He decided to publish a work which he named The Mirror of Joy. The Mirror of Joy. In time of plague? Well, in the introduction to his book, this is what Pastor Philip had to say. There seemed to be nothing more sweet, delightful, and agreeable than the contemplation of the noble, sublime doctrine of eternal life obtained through the blood of Christ. This I allowed to dwell in my heart day and night, and I searched the scriptures as to what they revealed on this matter. And I also read the sweet treatise of that ancient teacher, Saint Augustine. Then day by day I wrote out my meditations and gave to my manuscript the name and the title of The Mirror of Joy, with this purpose: to leave behind me, if God should call me out of this world, a token of my peaceful, joyful, Christian departure. Or, if God should spare me, to comfort other sufferers from the pestilence. Included in the Mirror of Joy were two hymns. One, the hymn, How Lovely Shines the Morning Star. The other, the great hymn we're about to sing. Pastor Nicolai gave this hymn this title: Of the Voice at Midnight and the Wise Virgins Who Meet Their Heavenly Bridegroom. So Pastor Philip wrote in those plague-ridden days, way back in 1598. And the hymn we sing now, after the prayers, is his hymn. Our life as Christians is not an aimless journey of uncertain ending. We wait not for something, but for someone. And we trust the promise of his coming and the fulfillment of all his promises in the marriage supper of the Lamb with all his saints in light. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now stand and pray for the church and for the world. We humbly implore you, Almighty and most merciful Father, graciously to receive these our prayers which we bring before you for your holy church throughout all the world, that you would be pleased to guard, to govern, and to keep it in concord and peace everywhere, and to grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all bishops, pastors, and ministers of your word, especially Matthew, the chief pastor of our synod, John, the chief pastor of this district, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously regard your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all the rulers of the earth, and grant them wisdom and understanding, that under their peaceable governance your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and justice. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy upon the infirmities of all people. Deliver the world from error. Take away disease. Ward off famine. Set free those who are innocently imprisoned, especially those who are in suffering for your names and for your truth's sake, and those who are prisoners of war. Grant a safe return to the wayfarers, health to the sick, consolation to the bereaved, and light to the erring. Lord, in your mercy, keep in the protection of your holy angels all who travel. Give to our loved ones your help and your favor, and a constant sense of your nearness and of your love. And to the enemies of your church, grant the grace of repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we also remember before you, O Lord, your servants and handmaidens who have gone before us with the sign of faith and are now fallen asleep. Grant that we, together with them, may be partakers of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And now let us sing Philip Nicolai's great hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying, hymn number 516. 516.